Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
It's Captain America, for love of God. He's nowhere. Donald Trump is nowhere near as patriotic as Captain America is. I mean, that guy's like, it's Captain America, for the love of God. I mean, if you want to donate money, give it to DC. They suck.
I will, as a comic book guy, I will say that
comic books are better. I will say DC comic books are better. Marvel movies rule.
Yes, and so it's funny because recently I've become a Marvel. I've been dabbling into like everything now. Marvel, DC. I've been a Marvel guy forever, but now like I'm reading more DC comics. I'm reading a lot of independent stuff, and it's like, oh, this is so great. So like having this diversity, but like it's disheartening that this is the case. And
well, it's because. Okay, so, like, idiots who don't really read comics or, like, understand everything that's going on use these people, like, these characters as caveats for their, like Captain America. Like, I'm all American, like...
And it's like they don't even know that Captain America is the son of two immigrants.
Yes, and it would like, be, like, so anti-fuckboy 45.
Yeah.
Like...
And the writers have even gone on and specifically... talked about how much they don't like him. And I remember when the Punisher, and it was like the police are putting Punisher stickers on their cars, and then Marvel, one of the writers, Matt Rosenberg, wrote in his comic book, and he had the artist show the Punisher ripping the skull off the thing, goes, I don't represent you. You're supposed to represent something that's better than me.
But the sad part is those police officers who are putting this shit all over the place,
we'll
never see that because they're probably not even comic book fans.
No.
They like the idea because they saw the movie. They saw the movie, they like the idea. I like that it's getting blown out into public, though, so that like they have to see it. And like I just wonder if like more people who see it are like, damn, I should have not have got that tattoo, huh? Or like, damn, I should have not had that like decal on my car, or like,
yeah,
because they're idiots. Like they're idiots. Like you put a symbol on you that literally is so anti everything that you do, but you have no idea because you did no actual research.
Yeah,
you just like, assumed it was for you.
Yeah, I have a Deadpool tattoo. I got this tattoo in 2004-ish, I think, because I like what he represents. It's like the guy who plays the fool, but is actually really intelligent. Like, he loves everybody. He's all about acceptance. And, like, more recently, where they made him, I think pansexual may be the word.
Yeah.
In the movies, and, like, you know, it's all about family. And in the comic books, like, you know, going from someone who used to be a giant piece of shit to constantly trying to reinvent yourself. That's the Marvel that I know. And then when you have these enforcer things like, well, he donates millions of dollars, and it's like, imagine how like someone like Vita Ayala, who is a member of the LGBTQ community who writes for Marvel, imagine how they feel about that. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't believe my work is being mentioned with something so disgusting.
I mean,
I agree. You know, a lot of what he did by donating that was a slap in the face to the writers, and it was a slap in the face to the people that the LGBT community in particular, because what have they done but tear their rights down?
And that's what it is. It's like, and then again, as a black male in America, like it hurt me, and it was just like, it's like, and for a while I was like, fuck, can I really support them anymore? But it's like. It's like, I don't support Marvel, it's like, but I also feel like I should support, like, the creators. Because they are making strides to, like, be more progressive. Because I read comic books literally every day. I find new things that are better the second time around because of the climate of things going on. So, it's cool for me to see these things. And when you have white male writers who do their best to show their privilege, to use their privilege to talk about events that need to be spoken up on. We talk about the topic on how women are portrayed, and my wife has a lot of things to say about that. I can't wait for you two to have a discussion so I can just sit back and watch. But I dig that. So it's a gift and a curse on the things you can't, like, you know what I mean? It's like, so what do you do at this point? Because I know for a fact, if it was you, you'd probably cut ties and go, yeah, I can't deal with you because you don't represent me and my company.
That board member doesn't represent. I like the product. I like what they originally were. And the problem is now that, you know, he's dead, you're going to see a lot of people trying to take advantage and twist things to their own benefit. But, you know, it's kind of cutting your nose off to spite your face if you boycott Marvel because one asshole on the board decided to drink the Kool-Aid. So
the orange Kool-Aid?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, men like him, the reason why they're donating to his campaign is because they're making money right now off of the backs of all Americans who are essential workers. Like, they're still collecting, so of course they're gonna support someone who's gonna increase their money. When you're part of a select group that, you know, is making millions of dollars because of the president that is in office, because they're allowed to have so many breaks and they're allowed to apply for so many grants and they're allowed to do whatever, of course you're gonna vote for that. I don't think it's a reflection of everyone at that company. I don't think that it should be held against, like, the creators, the writers, the artists that are making these comic books or making these movies, because it's not their opinion and it's unfair.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine working for the company. I don't know how I would feel about that. I kind of had a conversation with you of, like, why don't these creators just, like, create their own shit? Like,
yes.
At this point, like, you're so well known, your name is so out there, like, I also don't know what goes into that. I'm not a comic book artist or writer, but it's just like, you know, if they boycotted, if they whatever, what would happen?
That's
right? Like, if there's such a large mass of people who believe that him donating to this fund was wrong and they're so against it, strike. They need you for that money.
That's true.
The problem is a lot of these guys are under contracts. Mm-hmm. And even if they do speak up, they can't go elsewhere and create new content. Because
that's
a lot
true.
Of their ideas and a lot of their content He's and taken. Their future storylines they haven't developed are owned by Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is, like, I love guys like Dan Slott, who will go on rants about how much he hates the guy sitting in office. And how he'll just talk about, like, you know, this guy is a fucking idiot. And if you don't agree, unfollow me. I don't want your followers. I don't want your reads. You have women like Kelly Thompson who speak up on things like that. Like, and I love that they're not being stifled. You know what I mean? So they can let their opinions know flat out. And like you said, like, you're under contract. So what happens if you decide, well, you're not getting any content from me? If then it's like, well, it hurts their family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It hurts the people closest to them, the people who love them. And, well, the good thing I will say, and I mentioned this before on a previous show, with places like Comixology, you can now have exclusive stuff that go directly to go digital. I interviewed the writers of Invasion from WrestleTopia, and they discussed, like, you know, how difficult it was to do it, but they actually did. So when you have people who have, like, a more famous name, they could potentially make more money knowing that they can go directly to the consumer. Wasn't sure if you had anything on that, because I wasn't sure if you had more comments on that.
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be one of those moments where the guy shuts the fuck up and lets the two women talk. Because I'm not a guy. I'm not a woman, I mean.
You're not a guy?
I'm not a guy. So you said one of the topics, and he was like, why are older women portrayed in sports/movies as psychos, stalkers, and mean? I can't really speak on that because I'm a dude.
You can, in a sense. I mean, women... So, like, as you age, you lose value in the world, like, public eye. Like, as men age, right, they become these regal, important. They're so much handsome. They're, like, people view men aging differently than they view women aging. As a woman, as you age, you lose value. As a man, as you age, you gain value. It's a very... uneven. Yeah, it's always been like that. I'll say for me now, like being in my 30s, I can already feel the difference of how I'm viewed by the world, like from when I was 20 into my 30s. Like, I am not seen the way I was. I'm now something completely different. I don't look super different. I don't feel like I act super different, but as I age, it just becomes like more.
Yeah. Were you going to say something? Sorry, I want to cut you off.
No, I was coughing. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Actually, I was. She's right. You know, as men get older, they're more powerful. They're more attractive. You know, they're silver foxes.
Yeah.
We age. We're just old hags.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing attractive about a woman as they get older. You know, in any industry as they get older. Shit's sagging, gravity in our friend. You know?
Nobody wants to see, like, an older woman in a sexual situation. They don't... But it's so funny to think of, right? But, like, how many sexual situations have you seen, like, Harrison Ford in? Or, like... But there's a George Clooney. Oh, yeah, like... But that's fine. Women of an older age are not viewed that way, so... What is left for us, right? But to be the mean old desperate hag in the corner.
I mean, even the idea of being called a cougar apparently is a bad thing.
But cougars aren't even that old now. Cougars are like 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Meryl Streep and The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh my God. Time out. Can I just say, and my wife knows this, to this day, I still think Meryl Streep can get it. I just want to throw that out there. I still like her, but go ahead.
But I mean, look at her character. She was an incredibly powerful woman, but she was such a broom riding bitch in that movie.
Yes.
And she had everything she had to do by belittling others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that they seem to forget. Women should be uplifting women. We should be supporting each other. But no, we're taught from the time that we're 13 years old, when we hit puberty, those little boobies appear. We're in competition.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta keep the other one down. And we always gotta be younger and better and prettier and more popular. And once we hit that certain age, and I'm gonna say 35, 36, suddenly we're PTA moms.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not seen as sexual. We're not seen as smart. I worked in tech. I was in my 40s in tech. I was older than anyone in the entire company. And I was never taken seriously. I was given supervise the work at home mom section and, you know, do this and do that. I wasn't paid on scale. I had as much education as the rest of them. But because I wasn't young and Asian and sitting in their office in California with all of their young Asian girls, I didn't get paid the same sitting in Florida doing more than they did. Because that's what it is. You get to be a certain age, and you have no value.
Yeah, no, ageism is, like, definitely real. Like, I look at it, like, so when I first started, like, college, like, there was a woman in my nursing program who was in her, like, I think she was, like, 60. And a comment was made to her about how, like, she wasn't going to necessarily be successful in this because there was a lot of stuff to remember and would she be able to do that? And she wasn't going to have much of a career because she was so close to retirement. Like, what was the purpose, essentially? And this was from an instructor.
In my 40s, you know, why should we teach you all this stuff? And why should we do all this? Because, you know, at your age, you're going to be having grandchildren soon.
Yeah.
Okay. What does that have to do with being a project manager?
Yeah. It's gross. Like, when you really think about it, like, why would you say something to someone like that in the first place? I don't care if she's 80. If she decides she wants to become a nurse at 80, let her do it. Like, why does it matter? A, B, she was very intelligent, like a very smart woman. She had done social work for years. She was already like halfway there in the first place. So to discourage her based simply off age was kind of gross. And the funnier part is that the women teaching these classes are in their like 50s, 60s, because they you know, they've retired from regular nursing in the hospital and they've decided to teach as like a source of income. So you would think these women would be encouraging her because they understand what it feels like to be subject to ageism. Like, why would you choose to belittle her and talk to her that way? I couldn't completely grasp it or understand. And again, these were other women attacking her too. And it was like,
why tear someone down?
I applauded her. I was like, wow, that's awesome that you're going to do a career change. Like, good for you. Like, nursing's great. It's, you know, it's a wonderful experience. Like,
especially when you have someone who
welcome,
who could, like, you know, some people who are belittling her, maybe in a similar position going forward. Like, you know what I mean? Some people don't find their calling until they're 60 years old.
Yeah.
So you hope that, you know, you'd have the, you hope that you'd be motivated by the people who were in your shoes to be like, hey.
You would just hope that people would shut the fuck up and mind their business. Like, why was it even a concern what her age was?
It shouldn't be.
Again, it's viewing women, like, as this, like once you get to a certain age, like Tim said, like, you're like a mosaic. You're no longer like a gift to like humanity, right? Like, you're no longer useful. You're like she said, you now it's just your job to become a grandparent and like take care of them.
I'm just waiting to be put on a big ice cube or iceberg and sent out.
Right? To like die because you're no longer needed. You've given babies. That's all you need to do. See you later.
I mean, you look at some of these girls, and I'm looking at some of these people, and somebody's saying, well, so-and-so looks a little old in the tooth. You know, like, Charlotte Flair, she's, you know, they're hitting 30, 32, and they're like, yeah, it's time for them to leave the sport. Or you hit a certain age as an actress, and suddenly you're driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah, you
know?
You're everybody's mother.
I don't understand. The only woman that can be sexy is Susan Sarandon. Seriously, there's more women than her. Not that I'm taking anything away from her and Michelle Pfeiffer, because they can kick ass. But, you know, there's got to be a point. Our ovaries don't disappear, and our sex drive doesn't disappear at a certain age. We're still sexy, and we still have the same wants and needs and everything. Why does it always have to be the young hottie? Why can't it be the older woman or the middle-aged woman? You know, why does it always have to be the little bimbette that's boobs haven't, you know, hit gravity yet?
Because sex sells. I always say it to him, which is sad. Yeah. But, I mean, we're starting to see a change as generations go on. Like, I've noticed, like, a kind of shift is starting to happen, which is great. But, again, I don't think it's anything I'll see in my lifetime, but... when you talk about wrestlers, I always bring up, to old man, Natalia.
Yeah.
Like, she's, when you bring up an older woman in wrestling, I've always, so I'm not a super huge wrestling connoisseur myself. What I know is I know from my husband, and I've watched matches with him and stuff. I used to when I was younger, because I grew up with five boys, so I understand wrestling. I know how it works. I know the ins and outs. I don't understand, though, with Natalia, why they stifled her so much. And I feel like her age has something to do with it. And the fact that she's not a bimbette. Like, she's not this, like, model faced. I think she's beautiful.
So do I. Mila Belton.
But people don't, and I feel like they stifled her career because she's not that ideal young, pretty 20-year-old blonde girl. And I honestly, I don't know how she continues to train these idiots when they don't give her the chance. When they finally gave her a chance, like, I was like, stop. They're letting her win something? She's not just the cat lady? When he told me the cat lady gimmick, I was like, what is she, 90? I don't understand where they're going with this. Why is she all of a sudden, why is this her thing now? She's the cat lady. Like, there's nothing great about the cat lady. Like, they literally labeled her with this, like, gross, like, oh, you're older now. We're going to make you the cat lady. Like, yeah. That's a great gimmick. Why? What the hell about her says cat lady?
I just wondered who she tipped off to get that gimmick.
I say this to him all the time.
Of course, there's that big feud with Bret Hart. I mean, and the fact that they can't market the crap out of Owen Hart, her other uncle. So, you know, she's kind of paying for other people's sins. But, you know, they have her in the most unattractive looking gear, and she's all the time hot.
Exactly.
And you know, they're not trying to show that, you know, they're not showing her in the best light. And the same way with, I just blanked on her name. You know who I'm talking about. The big one that hurts everybody.
Nia Jax.
Nia Jax has the most unattractive gear known to wrestling. If they could make her look more like a really badly wrapped sausage that, you know.
Yeah.
That is not attractive gear. And I see her on other shows and I see her modeling and she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to put a bigger, older woman out there and show them as attractive.
Exactly.
You know, they gotta man them up.
Because she's not a 20-year-old bimbo.
No, and she's not. Well, you know, if you ever watch the Paige movie, Paige even makes that comment in the movie about them being cheerleaders and fitness models. Yeah. Instead of actual wrestlers.
Yes.
And I remember, and I know she's been, like, people have been saying really deplorable things about her. And I love that, like, she's speaking out and basically telling them to go fuck themselves. Because, like, you know what I mean? Like, her sex tape was leaked and her nudes were leaked. And people, like, been calling her a whore and all this other stuff.
Meanwhile, they're all watching porn and they've seen the tape 10 times.
Yeah.
Like, sexuality is normal. Go fuck yourself. Like, why is it a problem?
And then you have, I think it was last year, someone from BB Rex's company said that she was too old to be posting sexy pictures on Instagram. She was 29.
Too old.
She was 29.
Well, somebody was talking the other day about Paris Hilton being long in the tooth, and I'm like, isn't Paris Hilton only like 35?
Yeah.
Or 30, you know, they don't have, we as women don't have much of a shelf life. We have to get in and get it done, you know, till the next wave comes. I mean, you know, I'm out here as a 250-pound, 56-year-old woman trying to run a company with 22-year-old, 100-pound girls in it. So, yeah, I don't really want to pose in pictures with them. I look like I'm going to eat them or something. Holy shit.
And again, what's funny is like, but I'm a big guy, and I remember when I was super skinny and I put on weight, and it was like, oh my God, Mark, you look so well, and you look so healthy now, and I'm like, I feel disgusting. What the fuck are you talking about? But again,
yeah, but as a male, you can age, you can gain a beer belly. Women find that attractive, like. But if you're a woman, the minute you have a baby and your hips expand, like. You're seen as soccer mom for the rest of your life. Once you push a baby out, that's it. You might as well just lay down and die half of the time. like I said, as men age and they lose their hair and they get a belly and it's seen as regal. It's seen as attractive. You're still seen as attractive. Yeah. When you are a woman, as you age, it is not the same. It's just not the same.
Yeah, like and it's funny for me. I've noticed as I've gotten older. I can't look at you have to be a certain age before I can really, like, okay, I'll give you an example. what's her name? The woman, the girl who played Arya Stark. I guess she did a nude scene and she was like 21. And people were like, well, why do you find that disgusting? Because I watched her grow up. And for me, that's nasty. Like, you know what I mean? And that's just me, 38-year-old old man Wade. But I also, now I'm looking at women in like the nurses and stuff. And I look at them and it's like, wow, the maturity, the fact that you've gone through something, that's attractive to me. And it was like, oh yeah, this young 25-year-old is hot. I'm like, is she though? It's like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just my warped mind. I think that, like, you know, I think age is attractive. Like, you know what I mean? You've been through something. Like, now you can actually say that, like, you know, you've experienced, like, life. You know what I mean?
Too bad the rest of the world's not that way, though. Yeah. It's very far and few in between that you see that. But it's also what is jammed down our throat constantly. It's the way our culture is. We're taught that, like, if you don't, I mean, if you think about, like, just think about how the world has changed in the sense of, like, in the 80s, flat asses and small boobs was the thing. Now it's, like, big asses, giant boobs. Then it was, you know, like, you had to be short, you couldn't be tall. Then it was, we wanted leggy models. Then it was, I mean, it's, like, it depends on what era you're in too. So like I was saying, as things change, and not that I'll ever see it in my lifetime, I feel like a lot of that is going to change, where things are less, when things are less sexualized, when it, that's not all you are, like, right, is seen as something sexual, and then not seen as something sexual, and that's your only value.
Yeah. It's this is a good segue to your opinion on Jessica Jones and how what she looks like in the comic books as opposed to the way she was portrayed.
Oh, I was angry by that. I don't know if you've ever read any of the Jessica Jones comics. It was the first comic book that my husband had me read. When I met my husband, I knew nothing of what is it, like, nerd culture. Like, I really wasn't into it, and then as we started dating and being together, I started to get more and more into it. But he had me read Jessica Jones, which is a really great series, and she's a normal woman. Like, she's an average woman. She's like a size 14, like, kick-ass chick, like, who takes no shit. So when I read it, I was like, oh, I really like her character. She's a real fucking woman. She's not a super skinny, you know how they portray, like, Batgirl or Supergirl or, like, whatever, this big, busty blonde, you know. She was none of that. She had, like, mousy brown hair. She was, like, your average-looking woman, you know, curvy, whatever. So then when they were doing the show, I was really excited. And then they announced Kristen Ritter was going to play Jessica Jones. And I was like, no. And you know, old man was like, well, you know, she fits the attitude. I said, I don't care if she fits the attitude. They could have found a real fucking woman with the same goddamn attitude to play her. Instead, they took this tiny little stick and threw in a bunch of baggy clothes to try to make her look bigger instead of finding a real woman, like a woman, not a tiny stick figure, because that's not what she was. And it really, it bothered me a lot.
Yeah.
No, there was no resemblance between the comic book and her, because you're right. You went from a real authentic woman to a big eyed, long flipping her hair around little thing with a tiny butt. And
yes.
That was not the comic book at all.
At all.
they wanted somebody that guys could fantasize about.
Exactly.
And that's what they got. And it really did depart a lot from the comic book.
It was, and no, I was very, I was so taken aback by it. I was just like, no, I'm not watching this. And I ended up watching it or whatever. I still don't think she did that great of a job, but that's my opinion. People like her.
She doesn't have the dimension to play it.
I don't think she does. That's me personally. It's how, maybe it's how I read the comic book as a woman. But
she was too flat and one-dimensional.
Yes.
I mean, she just played angry drunk, I'm horny. No other no other, you know, like, range of emotion or anything. Exactly. And, you know, look at me, I'm going to do something really strong, I'm going to bat my eyes. And that's basically her acting range. I mean, yes. You can't blame her, because that's all the more she knows how to do. But you're right, there are so many other actresses that could have went in there and played snarky and sarcastic and, you know, and done it and had so much more heart.
Yeah.
She was just playing a one-dimensional character.
Yeah.
She did not have the heart, and she didn't have the range that she needed to play that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's funny, like, Maria will tell you, I liked her. I thought she was really good, but...
Uh-huh.
It really did annoy me that, like,
exactly.
But I thought the portrayal of her, like, anger was good, but I also feel like they missed a lot of the points with her character as a whole, though. To your point, she's not angry drunk, I'm horny. Like, there's a lot that went into all of it. There's a reason why she drank. There's a reason why she was, like, she had her one night stand with Luke Cage. They didn't really get into that. Like, you know what I mean?
I didn't mind that one night stand with Luke Cage part. I'm just going to say that. I had no issue with that storyline.
neither did I. but there more went into it than they let on. And I think this is one of the problems with comic book TV shows and the movies is, like, because there's so much...
Content,
thank you. Because there's so much content... You have a finite amount of time per season to really get into this. So they rushed the Purple Man season, and that could have went on for three seasons. That could have went on for 24 episodes. You know what I mean? But it's just like, we're gonna stop here and we'll move on to the shitty second season.
Because the American mind can't handle more than 5-minute segments.
Yeah, they didn't do the backstory. It didn't make sense. She just looked like an alcoholic that, you know. I never understood where she got the money to buy all that liquor from. That was the other thing. Because she never seemed like she was doing that much work. But, you know, she didn't have the range. And I love Luke Cage. I will say I liked that show, and I liked The Punisher. I didn't like Jessica Jones that much. Yeah. I only watched it to see David Tennant the first season, to be honest. Oh, my God,
and he was so damn good.
Yeah, he was.
And, you know, so now, on the flip side of that, I felt a certain way about Luke Cage.
Really?
Oh, God, yes. I thought Mike Coulter was incredible.
I love Mike Coulter.
But, like, that story just really, really pissed me off. And we can have... We're getting off topic. We can have this discussion on that another time. But on the same level, my Aunt Michelle talks about... We had this conversation randomly out of nowhere. She shoots me a text message. And we start discussing... her issue with the way women are drawn and cast in movies or drawn in comic books. It's like, even like when you're like this really strong woman, you have to still have like a, what's a small waist? A size?
Like a
30,
like a 28?
So 28 waist, and you gotta have giant boobs, or you gotta be drawn like, what's that really crappy artist? Rob Liefeld, or Liefeld, whatever his name is. You know what I mean? It's like incredibly small. It's like a waist so small that like a breeze should snap your spine. You know what I mean? And she harkens back to Xena Warrior Princess, who wasn't built like that. She was.
That's how Jessica Jones should have been built.
Yeah.
Like friggin' Xena Warrior Princess, like
Lucy Lawless.
Lucy Lawless is an average woman. Like, she's not a stick figure. She's athletic. She's not like this tiny little 5'2",
like dainty creature.
Yeah.
She looks like she'll fuck.
And Jessica Jones is not a dainty creature, and that's why I hated Kristen Ritter.
And so the more we discussed it, the more I realized how correct she was in talking about that, because it was funny. At the time, I just happened to be playing the new Mortal Kombat, and I was using Shiva. Shiva's forearms, talks in a deeper voice. And she looked, and it was almost like in order to make her look threatening, they had to make her voice deeper. Like, you know what I mean? They had to make her look monstrous. And granted, yes, she's from a people who are, they're monstrous looking. I forget the name of their race. It doesn't really matter. But it was like, do they have, so it's like, do you have to make them look like dainty and then like do something when you can just have someone who looks like a woman? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you talked about Naomi. Like, she looks like a woman. I love me some Shayna Baszler. She looks like she'd fuck you up. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's things like that that really befuddle me when you're talking about how a woman should look.
I don't think you know, unfortunately, the guys are the ones that draw these 90% of the time.
Yes.
And we're never going to get past the hourglass figure. And it's always going to be the big eyes. And, you know, sadly, I don't see that. I don't see that changing anytime soon because, you know, sex sells. But, you know, I would like to see the overweight woman with, you know, that holds her arms up and her skin sags so much she looks like the Batman logo. Because
who's a, I'm trying to, there's a, the new She-Hulk, who's now not She-Hulk, she's just Hulk. And she's gone through a transformation that's made her look, like, huge. And Jason Aaron has been writing her, and Ed McGuinness has been drawing her. So I don't know if you can actually see this image, but they specifically drew her like a monster. And
yeah.
So what I love that they did was, she had a conversation with her cousin Bruce, you know, the original Hulk, and he talked about, and she talked about how she hated that when she was smaller and, like, you know, she looked like she had a really athletic build, and she was disgusted that, like, the villains that she fought used to fight her and then cop a feel. And it was like she wished that she could look like a monster because no one would dare try her. And I'm like, oh dear God, that's so true. Or Brian Michael Bendis writing how disgusting men are when Captain Marvel, when she was still wearing like the one piece bikini and she was like out cold, and one of the Wrecking Crew was like, I'm gonna keep this one as a pet, I've always had a thing for the thickness. And I'm like, ew. And, but that's really how unevolved men think. And it's, and like, or let's take Brie Larson. So Captain Marvel is known to have, she's known to be thick. When Brie Larson was cast as Captain Marvel, people were like, she's not thick enough to play her. And they had a comparison, a side comparison of her in her in the Miss Marvel, in the Captain Marvel costume, and Tom Holland in the Spider-Man costume. And it was like, you know, he had a bigger ass than her, and I guess that was an issue. I'm like, why is that an issue? Like, she rocked. You know what I mean? Or, like, the idea was, like, how is she stronger than the Hulk? And I'm like, read the comics, you'll see why.
Well, she wasn't, yeah, I don't know. I didn't like her. I didn't like her character. I liked the movie. I liked her in the other movies. I didn't like her movie.
Okay.
I never understood, you know, I just thought that she played damsel in distress too much, and I don't think that was Captain Marvel. She didn't show enough strength until, you know, a certain point in the movie. And from what I remember from the comic books, she was a very strong-willed person.
Yep.
So it just didn't make a lot of sense to make her this, well, they just told me this, and I don't remember, and so I'm this helpless little creature that can't, you manage my shit.
Yeah, that was, I liked her in the movie, but I think we have a little ways to go with, in terms of her origins, I thought it was one of the better ones, but I still had, you're right though, it was a little too damsel in distress, but the good thing was, once she came into her own, it was like, oh yeah, fuck you. Like,
oh yeah, once she got to the point that she could fight, and she was in the gear, and not looking like a bimbo, I liked her fight scenes and I liked her humor and everything, but coming into that, I didn't like the way they portrayed her in it. They made her too helpless in the beginning.
And I loved the one of my favorite Marvel fight scenes was her final fight with that dude at the end, and he goes, "Show me what you got. If you could beat me without my power," and then she just zaps him. I stood up and applauded when he did that, because it was like, "Fuck you! Why am I gonna play by your rules? Kiss my ass."
That was pretty good. That was a pretty epic fuck you.
but to your point, you're right. Like, so why is, I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Why is that still a thing? Why are the damsel in distress is still a thing? Like your hatred for Lois Lane in the Superman movies.
I hate that they still do that.
And it's funny because in the comic books, Lois Lane is not a damsel in distress anymore. She hasn't been for a long time, but for some reason, that idea still has to be a thing.
But that's still that 50s thing when they, back in the 40s and 50s when they did the Superman comic books, when those first come out, women did not have any power. Women did not have any voice, you know, and, you know, they, now that they've evolved it, you know, even in the last movies, I like the girl that played her, but, you know, she should have been more assertive. I just think that Lois Lane should have just been like raping Clark Kent's ass in, you know, those movies. she was too, you know, well, Sammy Superman. She wouldn't have needed to be saved.
Yeah.
Because she would have figured something out. You know, but it's still that 50s mentality, the little woman, the helpless little woman bullshit.
Yeah, it's sad, but and I think I may have mentioned this on a previous show, but one of my favorite memes was, it was Cinderella leaving the castle, and the prince going, "Hold on, you can't leave," and then Cinderella turned around going, "First off, I can do whatever the fuck I wanted to."
I think people, it's right, people get, you have to think of too who owns these companies and who owns the rights, like, and who, like, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Because that definitely influences what they think the character should be, that 1950s housewife, damsel in distress, just trying to find a husband. I went to college to find a husband, because that's all I'm supposed to do, like.
Like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes, like, because it was then, that was what, the only reason why women went to college in the 50s was to find a suitable husband if they did not already have one.
Yeah, and
other than that, you were discouraged from going to college, and when you did go to college, you went to college for, like, home ec.
Yeah.
Home ec was a major.
Sewing 101. And I gotta say, like, after, I don't know if you've seen The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but I'm watching this with
I love that show.
It's so good.
She's an idiot, and I want to slap her all the way through it.
And as I'm watching this, like, Maria's telling me, like, how true all this stuff was. And I'm sitting here going, Jesus Christ. Like, this is, like, the idea of having to get up an hour before your husband to, like, make yourself look pretty.
I'd be fucking damned. I would not survive then. They would have killed me.
You wouldn't have gotten past, like, 15.
No. I would have been dead. Because I couldn't imagine getting up before you just to try to be pretty when you woke up. I don't care enough. I mean, I love you, but I don't care enough to make myself up.
Yeah, it's.
Oh, but I have the aunts, and I remember that because I was born in 63, and I remember having my aunts with. I never saw my aunts without makeup. I never saw my aunts without their hair done, you know. And they wore a girdle for years because you know, we have to be the same size we were when we were married. And that was a thing back then in the 50s and 60s, you know. And I look back at the pictures, and then I see them when they got older, and they just didn't really give a shit. And just and they got rid of the bouffant hairdos and everything. But no, that was a thing because you had to be a certain way. And there were so many expectations of women. And, you know, you're seeing me today, and I'm wearing makeup. I haven't had makeup on in three weeks. This is the first time I had makeup on in 3 weeks, and I actually brushed my hair and flat ironed it.
I didn't brush mine.
Yeah, you know, I actually cleaned up for this, but, you know, my grandmother would be absolutely horrified if she saw the way that I sit around the house and work. Because I'm always in leggings and a sports bra and a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. My grandmother always got up every morning, fixed her hair, dressed nicely, put on her jewelry, and sat in her house. Because that's the way she was raised to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was no casual Friday.
Before we go, I have a fun game, a game that I started playing recently. I had to change the name. So it used to be This or That, but I changed it to the old hip-hop song, You Can Get With This or You Can Get With That. So, are you ready to play? You Can Get With This. All right. So, Valkyrie, you're also in this as well.
Okay.
Guess we'll go first. Are you ready?
Yes.
Jason Momoa or Ryan Reynolds?
Jason Momoa, I can get with that.
I don't know. Okay, so for me, personality-wise, Ryan Reynolds. But Jason Momoa is like a freaking god on land. Like, he's a beautiful man.
I would climb that mountain.
Yeah, no, he's very beautiful. So I'd have to go Jason Momoa. He has better hair than I do. Like, I just want to know his secrets.
Samoan DNA.
I guess so. I missed out. God damn it, Sharon.
But you know what's funny? His personality is actually pretty good, too. Like, he's a gamer. He's super goofy.
Yeah.
Like, he's a family man. Like, so he's got an amazing personality as well.
I mean, he's married to Lisa Bonet. She's a cool chick, so.
Yeah. So, in terms of character in the MCU, Iron Man or Captain America?
Fuck both of them? Sorry.
In terms of what? Personality?
Yes, this is personality from the movies.
Oh, Iron Man, I like a sarcastic asshole.
I'd rather Iron Man. He asked this question on purpose because I don't really like Captain America and it bothers him.
He's boring.
Yes, thank you. It's like...
And I just don't think there's shit that he would do that I'd want to do.
Exactly. He's like licking freaking sandpaper. He definitely does everything missionary. Like...
Oh, yeah. Missionary to a Sousa song.
Yeah. So true.
I just want to be... I'm going to play this just to say that I did.
Play
and,
what?
Oh, of course, now that I want to do something funny, it won't play.
Shit! Language!
That's your favorite part. But,
I yell that out. Whenever someone said something inappropriate at work, I just yell out, language.
Yeah, no, I definitely go Iron Man. He's
But I'm going to throw it out
way
there.
Way cooler.
It's also super soldier serum sex.
Yeah, but I still feel like Iron Man probably has all kinds of crazy gadgets. We'd be good.
I can't even deny that. Next up, we have Batman or Superman.
Ew. All of it.
Ew to all of it.
Ugh.
But Batman has the gadgets. He's got a bat dildo.
No.
You got nothing on that one?
I'm going to say Batman because Superman never seems to have any money or goes anywhere. And, you know, I got to have the bling bling.
True.
Bruce Wayne can give it to me.
Same thing. Well, I was going to say, same thing with Superman as Captain America. I just find Superman... bland. Like, is it to be all American? Do you have to be bland? Like, do you have to be plain toast?
I'm gonna say this. Lois Lane is definitely the dominant one in the bedroom.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, yeah, she looked like Lois Lane looks like she's like.
He looks like he's confused half of the time. I'm sure he is. She is.
This is a weird one. Eddie Guerrero or Kurt Angle?
Eddie Guerrero, he can lie, just cheat, and steal off me anytime.
I don't know if I know that.
I'll show you pictures later. Shayna Baszler or Mercedes Martinez?
Shayna Baszler.
Really? I love Mercedes Martinez, but I'm going Shayna Baszler as well. All right, we get into the weirder ones. Stripes or polka dots?
Stripes?
Yeah, this is a weird one. I know you're going polka dots. I'm not even going to ask you. I knew the answer to that. Cool Ranch or nacho cheese? Oh, wow. I think we have a stunned one.
What? Nacho cheese what?
Doritos.
Oh, nacho cheese, not Cool Ranch. Oh, fuck not Cool Ranch. It tastes like ass.
30 Rock or The Office?
Mm.
I'm going 30 Rock, like, all day. I think it's probably the greatest sitcom of all time. Next to Married with Children.
I haven't watched either show.
Oh. I'd probably go 30 Rock, too.
Alright. Xena Warrior Princess or Wonder Woman?
Xena.
I would go
she
Xena.
Went gay at the end.
She did? Oh, I gotta, you know, I gotta start from episode one and finish. And last but not least, and I'm letting you know right now, you will be judged by this comment.
Oh my god, stop it.
Hard or soft shell tacos?
Choose wisely.
Soft. I like it soft.
Yeah! Nobody likes fucking hard tacos, Mike.
There is no such thing as a soft shell taco.
Yes, there is. It's a smaller than a burrito and there's less shit in it. Just stop it.
They're open shell burritos and I stand by that.
Fair.
thank you for coming on. I'm actually going to split this into two different episodes that will both come out next week. But before we go, please tell everyone where they can find you, your merch, Ignite Wrestling, the trading cards, the magazine. Tell us all.
You can find us on every major platform at Ignite Wrestling. Our shop is on our website, ignitewrestling.com. You can find us on Fight TV, on Pivot Share, on YouTube, Fire Stick, Independent Wrestling TV, and our magazines are on Zinio. You can find me at Kim Artlip. Not the dude, I'm the girl. There is actually a guy named Kim Artlip, but find me at Kim Artlip and that Kim Artlip on social media.
Nice.
Not the dude, but the girl. I like it.
Yeah, and he gets mad because we literally fight over social media handles, and he says, your name is Kimberly, and I was like, nobody calls me Kimberly unless they want money.
Damn it, Wade!